Hi everyone, and welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me here on this week's episode. This week I'm going to be tackling the topic of Mother Mary, but also going over with you a number of Marian sightings across the world. For those of you who are unfamiliar, there have been stories across the entire globe of people witnessing an apparition of Mother Mary, whether she has come to bring healing to a town or bring messages from God. These stories have been carried over for, I would say, probably a few centuries from multiple people that just span the entire globe, even across North America. And that's really what I'm going to be reviewing today, but I wanted to kick this off with information just about Mother Mary in general. So for most of us, I think we know Mother Mary is the most well-known woman in Catholicism, Christianity, and even in the Islamic religion. Despite the debate as to whether she was really the Virgin Mary when she, you know, gave birth to Jesus, she is actually really greatly revered, and she is loved around the world for a great reason. So as a beautiful spiritual being, and she's also known as an ascended master in the metaphysical community, she is understood as being a teacher of unconditional love, a teacher of light, and she makes herself available to people of all religions, all paths, and all walks of life. Mother Mary is the spiritual being representing the Divine Mother. So just as she parented Jesus during her earthly life, she also nurtures and guides our souls now to develop our quote-unquote inner Christ light so that we too can ascend and brightly shine. As an ascended being in the realms of spirit, Mother Mary serves alongside Archangel Raphael on the fifth ray, overseeing healing, wholeness, clarity, music, and truth, and even innovation. For those of you who are unfamiliar with what I just said, like the fifth ray or the rays, these are theosophical beliefs, and right now it is eluding me, the teacher of theosophy right now. I totally apologize. If you're interested in anything about theosophy, you can look that up. There are, I think it's coming to me, Madame Blavatsky, who wrote many books on this, and it's this whole, what do you call it? It's a whole metaphysical philosophy of its own. And I think it's also, it contributes a lot to the narrative of dimensional studies and the other side, but I don't want to digress too much into that. Let's just, for our purposes today, she does work alongside Archangel Raphael in the dimension of healing. That's probably the best way of putting it. So Mother Mary, she is the epitome of the nurturing energy. She is the epitome of unconditional loving energy and also that compassion energy. And her energy is incredibly uplifting and soothing, and she helps everyone who calls upon her, and she helps them to feel loved. She helps them to feel safe and to feel at peace. Mother Mary, who again we understand as being the Virgin Mary, she offers her reassurance to those who are troubled, and she cares for each and every being alive on the planet, and she even works to heal the planet itself. The unconditional love and light of Mother Mary is truly unlimited, and like the angels, she is able to assist and help everyone who calls upon her simultaneously. One thing to note here is that Mother Mary is not a substitute for linking with the divine, or even for connecting with what we would call source God, or even all that is, but rather she serves those who feel unworthy to make this direct connection. She heals people who feel disheartened, people who feel super wounded, and she offers that love, guidance, and healing, empowering all of us to connect with our inner light and with the divine. Mother Mary is also known as being this powerful archetype of the divine feminine and of carrying this inner, I guess what we could say is this goddess power. And she's able to help us master love for ourselves and for others, but also to master self-nurturing, giving to others, and mentoring. Mother Mary is considered to be a highly evolved spiritual being who mastered each of her physical lives on earth by choosing love. There is really a lot that we can learn from her as we advance forward on our individual ascension paths. So from Mother Mary's perspective, directly connected to the divine and all that is, she can see what has happened, what is, and what will be, and she can offer an illuminated perspective. Mother Mary is always present, and she's willing to help guide everyone in the direction of well-being, in the direction of joy, and just in the direction of, I would say, self-love. The Virgin Mary, or Mother Mary, is the most prominent female figure in Christianity. However, she's only mentioned in the Gospels a few times. As the mother of Jesus, she is accorded great reverence, even with the whole controversy surrounding the Immaculate Conception. Mary is central to many monotheistic beliefs. She's discussed in Islamic literature as the only named female in the Quran, and she is sainted in Catholicism and even in Orthodox traditions. The name Mary appears 51 times in the New Testament, referring to at least 9 different women, so obviously that was the name of its day. So in the book of James, and this is not a canonized book in the Bible, but it still is a book that has been referred to in other, I guess you can say, denominations. So in the book of James, Mary is the daughter of Anne and Joachim. Anne is sometimes referred to as Hannah, and Joachim is sometimes referred to as Imran. And they are both believed to be of King David's lineage. So this couple was having difficulty conceiving their firstborn child, and they prayed for assistance. Angels appeared to them and promised them a child, and soon after, Mary was born. So when, you know, before Mary came, obviously, it was heralded by an angelic visitation to her parents. Mary's cousin, Elizabeth, was also visited by the archangel Gabriel, who announced the birth of her son, who became, who we all know of, if you've read the Bible, John the Baptist. Gabriel later went to Mary and said, and we're all familiar with this again, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." And then, you know, he just proceeded to describe her future son, Jesus Christ. Although Mary is associated with Catholicism, Christianity, and these Orthodox traditions, she and Jesus were themselves of the Jewish faith and culture, which I think, again, most Christians forget that these are Jews practicing, you know, Jewish beliefs and living according to very specific Jewish laws of their time. Mary, just like Jesus and the angels, belong to all faiths, all religions, all paths, and all people. They are emblematic, I would say, of pure love, which is inclusive without any judgment, jealousy, or competitiveness. To some people, Mother Mary would be our ideal parent, right? She's sweet, pure, nurturing, unconditionally loving, accepting, humble, wise. She's very compassionate, and she comforts us with this soothing knowingness that puts our minds at rest. She also reassures troubled hearts and allows us to feel very loved and safe. She helps us to trust and believe in fairness and to also believe in goodness. The one thing that I wanted to say here was that I've only had one personal story associated with Mother Mary. And I think this is primarily because, you know, growing up in very specific Christian denomination, not all denominations celebrate Mother Mary the way she is celebrated in Catholicism and other traditions. In my church growing up, you only prayed to Jesus, and that was it. There was never any mention of Mother Mary, especially never any mention of her being, quote unquote, the Queen of Angels or someone that you would go to for understanding, for learning, for healing, for knowledge, really for anything. And I would probably say, I think it was seven years ago, I had one experience with her, which was quite shocking. And I think I did mention this in an episode last year. However, I will recount it here for those of you who don't remember and are just tuning in for the first time. I remember one day I had I think I was off of work. Now it's all coming back to me. It was Good Friday, and I happened to have that day off. And I wasn't going to church at that time. And it never really, I don't even think I remembered. It was Good Friday that morning. I got up to meditate, and I closed my eyes, and I didn't see anything. Which happens at times, you know, which is whatever, but I closed my eyes and all of a sudden the room became very bright. And again, my eyes are closed and it became so bright, I felt as if I needed to close my eyes because it was blinding me, but then I realized, oh, my eyes are already closed. And then I saw something in the distance coming towards me and I couldn't make it out. It got closer and closer, and I realized that it was a person walking to me. And I just stood there and just watched this, you know, the whole thing go down. And then she started to walk closer to me, and I somehow knew who she was. She was wearing a white gown, and she had on a blue cloak, and she was crying, and she was carrying something in her arms. I could see her face like it was yesterday. And when she was approaching me, I knew it was Mother Mary. And then I saw in her arms, it was Jesus, who was dead and had the crown of thorns, and his body was so emaciated and sick. And I was in shock because I had never reached out to her in my whole entire life, never prayed to her, you know, conversed with her in any capacity. And here she was approaching me with this dead Jesus. And I asked her, and I could see the tears literally running down her face, and I asked her, like, what's going on? And of course, I'm not realizing it's Good Friday at this time. And she hands Jesus over and puts him in my arms, and he's as light as a feather, and I'll never forget that. And in my mind, I'm thinking I need to get him in the ground. So I put him in the ground, like in a casket, while she's still standing by, and then I cover him in dirt. And then I walk back over to her, and she has something in her hands, and I'm trying to, and she's not speaking directly. And I asked her, what do you want? What do you need from me? What are you trying to tell me? She took my hand very forcefully and my arm, and she pointed up to the sun. And then she pointed to where I buried Jesus. And then she pointed, and as she pointed my arm all the way back up to the sun, I watched his spirit rise, and it was gold. There was no body. It was just spirit, and it was so bright and illuminated. And she told me after that to remember, do not forget that people here focus on the flesh. The stories that are written about the resurrection, it is not the resurrection of the flesh. There's no such thing as death, that we are eternal spirits. And she said, you too will rise like everyone else. And I have never forgotten that experience to this day, because I felt, obviously it taught me so much, but very humbled that she would approach me with a message in general. So that takes me to the next section of our talk, which is about Marian sightings or Marian apparitions, which a number of people across the world have actually experienced. And if you would have asked me many years ago whether or not I believed people saw Mother Mary come to them, I would have said no. But now I'm actually a big time believer, especially after having that experience. Mind you, I didn't see her in full-fledged form in front of my face with my eyes open, but I saw her with my eyes closed. And I wouldn't be surprised if this phenomena really does happen all over the world quite often. Let's talk about what a Marian apparition really is. Marian apparitions, they're generally associated with Catholicism, which does have great devotion for Mary, the mother of Jesus. Despite her being the mother of Jesus the Christ, the church actually does not consider her to be divine herself. According to Catholic doctrine, the age of public revelation ended when John, the last apostle, died around the year 100 AD. Marian apparitions, therefore, are considered to be private revelations, illuminating aspects of faith, but never revealing new ones. So that's interesting to me that she's not considered to be divine, and taking into consideration the fact that the book of James was never canonized. I'm just putting two together in my mind as I'm talking. Apparitions, I would say for the most part, are often the object of ridicule. And yes, some of them probably are fraudulent, and most of them do not get an official church approval, neither from the Vatican or from, let's say, the local bishop. Unrecognized apparitions can sometimes, which I found to be very interesting, lead to schisms within the official church. The visionary and sometimes the followers may decide to, you know, found their own independent movement or even join existing sects. Either path is usually characterized by a traditionalist approach to faith, often rejecting the innovations of the Second Vatican Council. And that's so specific, and I'm not Catholic, Roman Catholic. No, not too, I don't know too much about the Vatican, but I really should do my homework about that. But I think the most interesting aspect of that is the simple fact that, number one, again, she's not considered to be divine, even though she has been sainted and she's worshipped pretty much all over the world. And that, according to Catholic doctrine, that the age of public revelation ended when, you know, John the apostle died around 100 AD. That's crazy to me how they can just deem revelations to be kind of like illegitimate. Anywho, let's move on to very specific Marian apparitions. Something very important to note, Mother Mary has been seen literally almost everywhere around the world. And if you search online, you can actually find maps with sightings. And it's pretty amazing to see, because I've never heard of Marian sightings in North America. But when I looked online and saw the maps, there are actually a ton, especially concentrated on the East Coast of the US, which in a way I can kind of understand that, just because when people, colonizers, came to the New World, they all concentrated, of course, along the eastern coast of the United States, where Catholicism is a big hotbed, where it's just strongly populated over there. So I can kind of understand that as well. But then again, you never know. I think Mother Mary goes where she feels like she needs to be. Anyway, I digress too much. I want to talk about quickly where she has been seen in Europe, and then I'll go into some stories. So in Europe, Mother Mary's favorite destinations appear to be in Italy and France, also in southern Germany, and even in Belgium. Marian apparitions are, I think, really relatively small in Spain and in Poland, which is interesting given the fact that they're really strongly Catholic in those areas. There are actually a fair number in Western Ukraine, a number of sightings there, and there are none in Eastern Germany. There have been a handful of sightings in Hungary, but almost none in the Balkans. And Scandinavia is pretty much entirely free of any sightings at all. Fun fact here is that the US leads the rest of the world in the number of apparitions, although most of them supposedly are unrecognized. Two apparitions in Africa and one in Mexico are officially recognized by the Vatican. Now I'm going to review the Vatican approved apparitions of the Virgin Mary. And one of them comes from Ireland. On the 21st of August in 1879, the Virgin Mary, Saint Joseph, and Saint John the Evangelist appeared to two women whose both name happened to be Mary. So they appeared to them outside of a church in the village of Knock in Ireland. They were joined by other witnesses who also saw a cross and a lamb on a small altar behind these three figures. A witness further away described the scene as englobed in light. The apparition lasted for nearly 2 hours, during which the witnesses, who were standing and pouring rain, recited the rosary. Meanwhile, the ground around the apparition remained entirely dry. A church commission judged the apparition trustworthy, and Knock developed into a pilgrimage site. The apparition occurred at a time of agricultural strife and cultural crisis in Ireland, when the common language shifted from Gaelic to English. So that's pretty interesting. I'm going to move on now to a sighting in France. On the 17th of January in the year 1871, at the height of the Franco-Prussian War, a 12-year-old by the name of Eugene Barbedette looked out at the night sky over Pontmain and saw a beautiful woman wearing a blue gown studded with stars, and she had a black veil under a golden crown. His 10-year-old brother also saw the apparition, but their parents and other adults, they saw nothing. Two other children described the apparition in the same detail as the two brothers. Adults, at least some of the adults, could only see a triangle of stars. After 3 hours, the apparition vanished. That same evening, Prussian forces inexplicably abandoned their advance towards the town. The children who saw the apparition later became priests and nuns. And I should say something here that I think when these huge apparitions, or when you have these huge sightings and these apparitions appear in these towns, the common thread is that some sort of war is either taking place or is about to take place in that area. And that's when Mother Mary appears. At least this has been a trend in a lot of these sightings. We're going to move on to another sighting in France. In the year 1930, on July 19th, a voice woke up a nun by the name of Catherine Labouré, calling her to the chapel. And at the chapel, Mother Mary told her, and I'm quoting this, "Times are evil in France and the world." And she instructed this nun by the name Catherine to produce medallions that would confer graces on those that wore them. And these medallions proved very popular. So these medallions were inscribed with the following message: "O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee." You can actually go online and take a look at these little medallions yourself if you're interested in seeing them. So this nun, Sister Catherine, she spent the rest of her life caring for the sick and for the elderly, and her body is now encased in glass in Paris, and it was supposedly found to be incorrupt. She was canonized in 1947, and Pope John Paul II used a variation of the medallion's image on his own coat of arms. We're going to move on to a sighting that happened in Belgium. So between November 1932 and the following January, the Virgin Mary appeared a total of 33 times to five children who were between the ages of 9 and 15 in this small Belgian town called Bereng. So the lady, who we are all assuming to be Mother Mary, she was dressed in a long white robe, and she said that she was the Immaculate Virgin. She specifically requested that a chapel be built at the site of her apparition and asked that the children and everybody pray at that location. During one of her last visitations to that location, and again, this is supposedly happening 33 times, she actually revealed her golden heart, which is very, very cool. Okay, so now we're going to move on to a sighting in the Czech Republic. At 4 in the morning on the 13th of January, 1866, the Virgin Mary appeared at the sickbed of a woman by the name of Magdalena Kate. Mary was said to have been dressed in white, and she was wearing a golden tiara. She pronounced Magdalena healed from her long illness. And what's interesting is that many miraculous healings were subsequently reported after that event. A church and convent were built on that location, and that location is sometimes referred to as the Lourdes of Bohemia. I want to shift now to some of the more very popular, well-known sightings of Mother Mary. There are a whole host of stories that I could cover, and they do seem a little bit redundant. However, again, there's, you know, this common thread of appearing for healing, appearing to deliver a message, but also appearing in times of war or prior to some sort of horrendous genocidal event. We're going to move to Portugal now, where there's this very, very well-known sighting. Between the 13th of May to the 13th of October in the year 1917, a lady who's been described as being more brilliant than the sun appeared six times to three Portuguese shepherd children. And she appeared to somebody by the name of Lucia dos Santos and her cousins Francisco and Jacinta Marto. So this lady who appears asks them to devote themselves to the Holy Trinity and to pray the rosary every day. Prayer would end their great war that was then still raging. She also showed them a vision of hell and entrusted them with three secrets. The children's visions drew thousands of visitors, and it upset the political balance in the country, with a young anti-clerical republic fighting off a strong conservative reaction. The children were even briefly jailed and variously ordered to reveal the secrets or admit that they had lied. The local administrator even threatened that he would boil them one by one in a pot of oil. At the Virgin's last appearance, about 100,000 visitors reported a miracle of the sun, and this is seen as a multicolored light and even erratic movement from the sun. Others saw nothing out of the ordinary. As predicted by the Virgin Mother Mary, Francisco and Jacinta, they died soon afterward. They died in the Spanish flu pandemic that started in 1918. One of the children, Lucia, she became a nun, and she said that she sporadically saw the Virgin again later in life, as well as seeing Jesus, and she died at the age of 97 back in 2005. Another very popular sighting happened in Cairo in Egypt. So on the 2nd of April 1968, A Muslim bus driver thought he saw a lady standing on top of St. Mary's Coptic Church in Zeytun, which is located near Cairo, and he thought she was about to commit suicide. The police were called, but the crowd had gathered very quickly and identified the figure as being Mother Mary, or the Virgin Mary. After a few minutes, the figure vanished. However, the lady returned a week later again for a few minutes. And after that, apparitions occurred up to several times a week up until the year 1971. So the Vatican, because of this event, the Vatican sent an envoy, but left the investigation to the Coptic authorities. Uniquely, the location of the apparition, has a historical link to the Virgin Mary, at least according to Coptic tradition. It is said to be one of the places where the Holy Family rested on their flight from Bethlehem to Egypt. Unlike most of the other apparitions, this Zeytun Mother Mary, it was seen by huge crowds of people, and there are estimates that vary from 250,000 to even millions of people over the course of 4 years that this phenomenon lasted. And included in this were many Muslims. Even the Egyptian president Nasser was among them. This phenomena, I'd like to say, was also captured on camera. And if you look this up online, and again, this is in the city of Zeytun, and I'll spell that for you if you're interested. It's Zeytoun. You can actually see these images, and they're quite amazing to look at online, so I would encourage you to do so. Of course, there are skeptics who believe that this never occurred, and the simple fact that you have all of these people seeing this this apparition, skeptics kind of think it was a case of mass hysteria in a time of crisis, And I mean, that can possibly be the case, but I don't know. These pictures look pretty legit to me. They don't necessarily look doctored, but who knows what's possible. And yes, about 250 to, you know, several million people said they've seen her appear repeatedly at this same location. Okay, now I want to move on to one that's extremely popular, and this is in Mexico. On December 9th in 1531, the Virgin appeared to Juan Diego, a native peasant, on the hill of Tepeyac near Mexico City. Supposedly, the Mother Mary spoke to Juan Diego in his local Nahuatl language, and she asked for a church to be built on that site. Juan Diego reported the sighting to the Archbishop of Mexico, but the Archbishop, of course, didn't believe him and asked for a miraculous sign. So what was this miraculous sign? Well, the Virgin healed Juan Diego's uncle and appeared to him as well, and instructed Juan Diego to pick Castilian roses on top of this usually barren Tepeyac hill, and then transformed his cloak into an image of the Virgin. A few days later, the cloak was displayed in a hastily erected chapel. Miracles started occurring almost immediately. Our Lady of Guadalupe became Mexico's most popular religious symbol, and in the 19th century, it became a rallying point for Mexico's independence struggle against Spain. So despite the fact that Juan Diego was canonized in 2002, some Catholic scholars doubt he even ever existed. According to them, the cult of Guadalupe was designed to increase Catholic devotion amongst indigenous Mexicans, which I totally believe. The image on the cloak, they point out, it really resembles contemporary Spanish artwork. Many believers nevertheless ascribe miraculous qualities to the cloak, and this is exhibited in the basilica in a climate-controlled casing. Although Nahuatl origins have been proposed, it seems likely that the name Guadalupe which became attached to the apparition. It's a Spanish reference. Extremadura, the Spanish region where the conquistador Hernan Cortes was born, it has its own cult of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and this is also why you have scholars who are very skeptical. Our Lady of Guadalupe is the patron saint of Mexico, is a patron saint essentially of the Americas and of the unborn, and believe it or not, has become a symbol for the pro-life movement. Side note. So the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City is the world's most visited Catholic shrine, receiving millions of pilgrims every year. So as I stated earlier, there are so many sightings of Mother Mary across the entire globe, and there are so many stories, and a lot of them are similar in a way. I wanted to talk very briefly about one more story because I think it's quite important, and also it demonstrates the simple fact that Mother Mary does come to places prior to times of war and, you know, times of massive genocide. And I want to talk about a really short story that happened in Rwanda. On the 28th of November in 1981, the Virgin Mary first appeared to an individual by the name of Alphonsine. And over the next few years, she appeared to two other people at a girls' school in southwestern Rwanda. She identified herself as Niina Wajombo, and she asked everyone to pray to prevent a terrible war. And I think this was perhaps a premonition of the 1994 Rwandan genocide, and which occurred because there were tensions between the Tutsis and the Hutus, and it was already starting to rise, but the tensions were escalating at that time. Three women reported going on some sort of mystic voyage trip with Mother Mary during their individual visions that they had with her, and these individual visions lasted for several hours. Interestingly enough, these women inexplicably seemed to acquire so much weight during their visions that they couldn't even be lifted off the ground. In addition, many other people at that time reported apparitions. One of them was said to have even met Christ in a bean field. However, of course, these visions, these visitations, these apparitions were definitely rejected by the Vatican. And I think it's important here to talk about the simple fact that during, you know, this time, like a few years before the start of that massive genocide in 1994, people started to have these visions of Mother Mary, and she was asking them all to pray on this large scale. What's really sad is that some of these women who had these supposed visions in the 1980s, they were killed along with their families in these huge massacres in their village back in 1995. And again, I wonder why she comes, if it's just to get the people to pray and to heal so that these massive events do not occur, where you have, you know, this genocidal events in these areas of the world. But I personally really do believe that she does come to visit people on an individual basis, but also that she comes to towns and villages who are going through some sort of, or about to enter into a massive time of change and transition. Of the 386 claims of Marian apparitions in the 20th century, only 8 were approved and 79 were rejected by the Catholic Church, with no definitive verdict on the rest. So what's interesting is that the number of apparitions of, you know, the number of Marian sightings, they've peaked in 1954. But they've steadily been declining since the mid-1980s, which is interesting enough. I'm not sure why that is. But again, if you guys are really personally interested in looking at maps and seeing where she has been sighted the most, I do encourage you to even look at National Geographic, because they do have geographical maps of Marian visitations in Europe and, of course, in the rest of the world. I hope today's talk has been very interesting for you guys. There were so many stories to choose from, and I really wanted to focus on the most popular stories, but also just the little stories that occurred here and there to people where they would have a visitation and then a church would pop up, or Mother Mary would show up and then that particular area is a place for healing, or healing waters that flow, what have you. I really enjoy these stories, and I would encourage you, if you're interested in connecting with Mother Mary, to just sit down and talk with her, and she will definitely come to you and talk to you individually to help you with whatever it is that you're going through. Thank you guys for listening to this week's episode on Intuitive Awakening. I'm very grateful, and I look forward to sharing more information with you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.